Session one will be an overview. And you'll see there that we're going to do a quick trip of background material on the history of the Old Testament. And you will have a diagram there, which will show you in just a moment, a picture of the history of the Old Testament to get some relevance and some background to what we're going to talk about. So I'm just going to bring that up, and don't turn to your diagram as yet, but this is where we will quickly travel now on the history of the Old Testament and to get a background to the kings and prophets. Now, I call this flying at 39,000 feet. So in other words, we are way up in the Old Testament, flying over the Old Testament and looking down over it and getting a bird's eye view. I came back from India on January the 4th this year, and I had the opportunity of flying across Australia in the daytime. Normally when I fly, it's nighttime. So it's out under the ocean or over the land and it's dark. So I said to myself, this may be the only time that I will fly across Australia, 5 hours. So what I'm going to do, and I always book at the rear of the plane so I can see, get some money's worth of views and whatever, wherever I fly. And so I said, when I get to Australia and cross the coast where my son lives up near Broome, I'm going to watch and I'm going to look at Australia for 5 hours. So I looked out for 5 hours right across Australia and I enjoyed it. I mean, you might say, it's desert. But that was the thrill of it. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I couldn't take my eyes off what was going to come next. But I was at 39,000 feet. What an island, what a continent, as it says in our anthem, girt by sea, that great island girt by sea. Now that's what we're going to do now. So this is flying at 39,000 feet. We're way up in the air and we're going to take in what is covered in the Old Testament, and that is very, very quickly. You do not have to fasten your seatbelts for this. You'll have to fasten your seatbelts a little later in our next talk when we land and visit some of these kings and prophets. But for this particular session, we're flying at 39,000 feet, and then we're going to go down to 15,000 feet and get a little closer, and you won't even need binoculars. You'll be able to see it okay. So here we have these outlined, you see. One, the creation, right down to point 13, which is at the end of the Old Testament. Now, I suggest that you turn to the next page and you will have that diagram in front of you. And I suggest that you follow me as I quickly take you through that history of the Old Testament. So you can glance up here if you like, or look at your little diagram. Remember, we're flying at 39,000 feet. There's no clouds below. We've got a good view. Okay, a good view of the Old Testament. So it starts off with the creation event in Genesis, followed by the flood. And then there's the Tower of Babel. Can anyone tell me what chapter in Genesis we are now, the Tower of Babel? Oh, come on, you Bible students. Western Sydney Bible School Bible students. Genesis 11. Yes, Genesis 11, Tower of Babel. And then we come to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, round about 2,000 years. That's the patriarch and God's great promises. And down they go to Egypt. And then there's the long period of bondage in Egypt. Then we come to the deliverer, Moses, round about, these are round figures, 1,400. Then there's Moses. And then there is the conquest of the promised land. Then the long period of the judges, which takes us down to the beginning of what is called the United Kingdom with Saul, David and Solomon. And then we come to a terrible date, 931, and there is the revolt and the division of the United Kingdom and Israel. We have the Northern Kingdom, which is Israel. Then we have the Southern Kingdom, which is Judah, with the capital in Jerusalem, the divided kingdom. And this is where the kings and the prophets come in. So for Israel, we have those Jonah, Amos and Hosea that minister to the Northern Kingdom. And in 722, that horrendous world power, the Assyrians, the barbaric Assyrians come and take the 10 tribes off into Assyria, never to return as the 10 tribes. But they will in the end times. As a matter of fact, James wrote to them, you know. Ever read James 1:1? James is Jacob, and he writes to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad, James 1:1. They're not lost. They may be lost to us, but they're not lost to God. And God's got his eye on them, and we will regather them shortly. And then in the divided kingdom, there is the southern kingdom. And in 606 BC, we find another world power, which is the Babylonians, under Nebuchadnezzar, come and begin to take captives. And then begins the Babylonian captivity for 70 years. It is in this period we have a concentration of these prophets. And as we'll see as we get a little closer, when we come down to 15,000 feet, we'll see all of it. Look at all of these here. What's going on? What's going on here? God's saying something to the children of Israel. And then after the return from the Babylonian captivity under Zerubbabel at 536, the remaining history of the Old Testament continues under Zerubbabel and Ezra and Nehemiah, and that's where we confront Haggai and Zechariah, and then about 100 years later, Malachi comes on the scene. Then 420, 430, the prophetic office closes down, and then we have 400 silent years. Not years of inactivity, but 400 years of no prophetic voice from God. Until God raises up someone and the silence is broken. Who's that? Who breaks the silence after 400 years? John the Baptist, John the Baptizer. He's not John the Baptist of the Baptist denomination. He's John the Baptizer. Although we follow his train and the train of others of immersion and water baptism. And then, of course, our blessed Lord Jesus comes and offers his life. Okay, that's flying at 29,000 feet, or 39,000 feet. That's an overview. Okay, now let's go down back to the page, please. Back one page. And now we'll have a look at the kings and the prophets. I should say that we are now going down to 15,000 feet, and we're going to be from here. Sorry. We're going to be from here. See this part here? We're going to be from there onwards now. We're going to go down from 39,000 feet. We're going to go down to 15,000 feet and have a closer look. So we will see the United Kingdom, the Divided Kingdom, the Northern Kingdom, the Southern Kingdom, the return from exile, and the 400 silent years in more detail. So please go to page 5, and you will find you have a chart there that opens up. Now we're down to 15,000 feet, all right? I hope that dip didn't upset your stomach. You have 39,000 feet. We're getting closer. We're drawing closer now, you see. Yeah. And here we have the world empire in that time is Assyria. The great world empire that's threatening God's people. And in this particular diagram, I better put it up for you. Once again, I'll take you through it. Here it is. We have the United Kingdom with Solomon here, Saul, David and Solomon. And now in Solomon's day, there's the United Kingdom, the North and the South. And this blue line will illustrate the division of the North and the South Kingdom. And to the North, we will have the kings of Israel, which are centered around the northern part of the land of Israel, going on until the Assyrians destroy them in 722 BC. And down the south, we have the southern kingdom. Of course, Rehoboam the first was the rebel. And then we have Rehoboam, who is a son of Solomon, and he continues on with the kings of Judah, and they go on into the next chart that we have. We must say one or two things here. We've omitted some of the names up here because some of them only reign for a very, very short time. Elah reigned for 7 days, committed suicide. Things weren't too good in the north. And then we have some who reigned for 6 months, some who reigned for a year. So they are not all there, but we will show you a complete list a little later. But that's the divided kingdom. And here also we haven't shown co-regencies or an overlapping. Sometimes they have two kings reigning at the same time in this era. It's a little bit difficult for us. I remember as a six-year-old boy, my father coming into the bedroom and saying, "The king has died. Long live the king." And I said, "What's he talking about? The king's just dead. And now he wants the king to live." I didn't understand that we say, "The king has died. Long live the next king." But here we have some co-regency. So don't pick me on that, please. I'm just trying to make it as simple as possible.